I'm here today with Alexis Mitchell, who is a Toronto-based media artist. Her performative documentary and hybrid visual works explores queerness, memory, performativity, space architecture, and nuanced understandings of contemporary Jewish identity and politics. Her past documentaries have included Rub My Chub, Fat Activism, and the Fat Femme Mafia. June 16th marks the premiere of her most recent work, Camp. Hi, Alexis.
Hi.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to creating the short film Camp?
Sure. As you said, I'm a media artist. I did an undergrad actually at Queen's University in film and media and started making short documentaries while in that program. And then I sort of went on to kind of just start making video works on my own and then did an MFA, which I just completed in September at York, and actually Camp was my MFA thesis project.
Oh, I see. And the title Camp is both reflected as a spatial component as well as a queer aesthetic. What was your process behind that, and why was that an important link to be made?
Sure. Well, I guess where that started was the project was actually supposed to be, well, it started as a project documenting the Jewish holiday Purim,
okay.
And looking at how Purim as a holiday is essentially queered in certain ways and offers up space through that queerness and performativity to be able to talk about maybe some of the things that I grapple with as an activist in the Jewish community.
Mm-hmm.
So it sort of started there, and I was like, okay, well, Purim's campy. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, I was working on ideas for three other projects. One of them was exploring refugee camps, and the space of a refugee camp is also a space to sort of open up this similar kind of dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time was trying to draw links between my grandfather's history and Frank in some ways, and then all of a sudden things just sort of piled on top of each other, and I was like, wait, I can draw links between all of these things, even though they're so seemingly disconnected, and through this sort of framing of camp,
mm-hmm.
And just looking at camp as a space that's potentially liberatory because it's, in all of its manifestations exists outside of the confines of society,
mm-hmm.
But at the same time is usually particularly restrictive,
mm-hmm.
while, try to offer up some kind of new idea or force or something, and obviously each particular camp that I look at, the summer camp, the refugee camp, and the concentration camp, all are very particular and
mm-hmm.
have their each individual identities. I think as a theme, as a whole, it sort of offers up similar kind of opening that camp in terms of queerness and
mm-hmm.
performativity opens up in that sort of blast open these really rigid. As soon as we start to sort of look at space in that way, and
mm-hmm.
we start in the same way that we look at, drag and costume and gaudy furniture, it almost opens up a similar kind of arena to be able to talk about things that we don't actually talk about,
mm-hmm.
which is what camp is sort of used for,
mm-hmm.
to kind of just throw things in people's faces, and then, everybody, you have to sort of digest it
right.
afterwards.
And the three sections of the film that there's the three sections that coincide with architectural theorist Charlie Haley's work. What drew you to those ideas of camp and its importance in understanding meanings of place?
I was interested in looking at the refugee camp specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I think a friend of mine just sort of came home with this book. The book called Camp that Charlie Haley wrote. And I actually just like the look of the book aesthetically. I was like, oh, this is a really interesting, the cover is made out of almost looks like wood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bound really interestingly. And I was like, oh, this is architecturally, even as a book, it's really interesting. So I sort of just looked through it and the way that he organizes, he basically, similarly talks about the camp in general as a space that, exist outside of the confines of the nation state, and thus follows a particular set of rules. Sometimes,
mm-hmm.
Those set of rules can be autonomous, as
mm-hmm.
the summer camp, the goals of the summer camp are, which means you know, the participants who are engaged with that camp have the ability to kind of set their own rules and pace and ideas. And so he sort of sets out, you know, different sorts of camps through these categories, autonomous, necessity, and control, mm-hmm. and kind of outlines a particular sort of camps within those. And I was thinking, like, oh, if I have these three themes that I'm kind of looking at my grandfather, my relationship with my grandfather, I'm looking at Anne Frank's history, and I'm looking at Purim, and then there's like these three categories, like, do they actually fit? Mm-hmm. Which ways do they fit? So it was like, it was sort of organic, but then it also kind of forced in a way, because like I was like, oh, he has three categories and I have three, and can I actually make those work, or am I just, you know, drawing weird connections that don't actually exist?
Yeah, no, I thought it worked perfectly, and I thought it focused a lot on sort of things left unsaid, parts of stories that are omitted, experience that aren't ever revealed. So why was it essential for you to highlight that in particular, and how does it reflect your relationship with Jewish history and culture?
So I think that the way that I was approaching the project was, or the way that I sort of approach a lot of things, I think, mm-hmm. politically is somewhat detached. I don't really necessarily engage with the actual, like, emotional thing that I'm trying to grapple with. And I think this is maybe the first time that I've actually done that. And mm-hmm. so I kept kind of trying to think of ways in which to talk about, you know, the secrets that lie in Jewish communities and Jewish families around very many things, mm-hmm. but that we're sort of pointing to this larger secret or around Israel-Palestine and, like, mm-hmm. what we're actually trying to hide from each other or what we're needing to hide around each other in order to be able to exist mm-hmm. in a family where we don't actually see eye to eye, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what was the emotional core of that, and what I actually did eventually get to, was that, you know, in my experience, I have a lot of people talking about, like, even Jewish culture with my family, because mm-hmm. They're particularly invested in a certain narrative that holds Israel as, you know, the state of, like, Jewish autonomous, like, identity and being, and, you know, are very closely aligned to Israel being part of who they are and part of, you know, the Jewish savior and mm-hmm. all these things. And it's just not a narrative that I prescribe to or believe in. And I do a lot of, like, Palestine solidarity work, and it's caused a lot of problems in my family in terms mm-hmm. of, like, how I can just, like, feel comfortable in certain places and how I can relate to people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think at the core of that was just sort of getting out, like, this really emotional, affective experience of, like, being outside of something, like, within a familial or community structure, and just not being able to access it because there's so many secrets and barriers that have, you know, throughout history been sort of put up around that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Pride Week here in Kingston, and soon to be Pride Week in Toronto, I believe. Mm-hmm. And as you know, Queers Against Australia Pride Side has chosen not to march in the Pride Parade, but instead focus their attention on community events. And mm-hmm. Alf Landers of Quia has said, and I quote, "Rob Ford wants to use us as an excuse to cut Pride funding, even though he has always opposed funding the parade long before we showed up. By holding our Pride events outside of the parade, we are forcing him to make a choice, fund Pride, or have your real homophobic right-wing agenda exposed." Now, your film intersects queerness, Jewish identity, and activism to end Israeli occupation. How do you relate to Pride in light of these recent events, and what do you feel is the relationship between queer identity and the end of Israeli apartheid?
Well, I'm actually also part of Quia,
okay.
So I should out myself in that regard. And to be honest, I actually never really engaged with Pride until, mm-hmm. and I think amongst talking to people that also organize with Quia, people say similar things, you know, that, you know, a lot of people, at least in my generation, I'm 28, weren't really engaging with Pride on any political level
mm-hmm.
Before Quia came.
Okay.
And it was really, for me, like, the first kind of, like, I guess the first time I felt like I could access a political queer community mm-hmm. within such a, like, you know, mainstream corporatized environment, which mm-hmm. Pride is at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was never really a need for me to march, even though, you know, there were Palestine solidarity contingents before, but, and, you know, I think I probably, like, you know, marched in the Dyke March mm-hmm. with those groups years prior. I just was never really super active.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of just engaging with queerness in general in a mainstream avenue, I think Kawaii was sort of like the entry point for me. But the way in which those things align is like, I mean, we always say that we didn't choose a politic, like the politic chose us kind mm-hmm. of thing, because the state of Israel, is engaged in a PR campaign that is constantly stating how like liberated they are as a state and like how, you know, they've secured all of these gay rights for Israeli citizens and, trying to sort of push this liberal agenda throughout the rest of the world so that, you know, the rest of the world is like, oh, you know, they're the only, well, the way that they say it, the only safe haven for
right.
gay people in the Middle East.
Right.
And so in a sense, it's like, well, it's this like natural response. Like we're like, well, you're using us like as queer subjects to state that your occupation is legitimate and your, you know, methods of war are legitimate. And mm-hmm. so it's like, it's almost this, yeah, like some kind of necessary response to say like, well, you know, we oppose these state policies, you know, and we oppose mm-hmm. being used as a vehicle to kind of continue those state policies.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's like this very obvious thing, but obviously not for everybody, given the issues. And I think I'm really happy that we chose to march this year. I know people, you know, are all over the spectrum about how they feel mm-hmm. about that, but I think for me, like, pride was never really the thing. It was never, it should never have been, like, for me, I was never really focused on, you know, organizing around pride, but because of all of the backlash,
mm-hmm.
that became such a massive focus of our attention and our organizing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm personally more interested in doing other kinds of, like, video work and community mm-hmm. organizing that's maybe outside of that. Like, I think that the fact that it's happened and the fact that it's brought so much attention to onto itself so that people are actually paying attention to it, mm-hmm. and the fact that, you know, it's brought tons of people on board that would never have
mm-hmm.
Potentially organized, I think is amazing, you know, and yeah. absolutely needed, and it needs to continue. Mm-hmm. But I just think that, like, personally, I would actually rather focus my attention on other projects. But yeah, like, we have this screening coming up, which Camp is a part of,
yeah.
Which is a screening of queer digital activism around Palestine solidarity. So people are screening a bunch of boycott, divestment, sanction videos that are like somehow queered,
mm-hmm.
And a bunch of queer activist videos around the topic of Palestine solidarity. So that's coming up, and Sarah Shulman's coming from New York to speak on June 22nd at the Gladstone. And, you know, there's a bunch of like Toronto community members, people who like haven't really engaged with Palestine solidarity stuff. Like Mike Holboom has a new video work that he's screening, and just like a bunch of different like artists and entertainers and speakers and things like this. And I feel like I personally am more interested in, you know, having those nights happen without the kind of pressure of like the city or funding or whatever, which is still up in the air because the vote hasn't actually gone through yet.
Mm. And who did you envision as your audience for your film specifically?
I think that, like, you know, ideally, I was hoping that my parents could watch it and at least kind of learn something about where I was coming from in a way. Mm-hmm. And I know that I didn't really make the most, like, earnest project. Like, it is very campy and it is ironic, and mm-hmm. it does kind of require some sense of understanding of certain cultures, like mm-hmm. queer cultures, Jewish cultures, in order to engage with it in a really critical way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, like, at its core, you know, like, even just the conversation with my grandfather,
mm-hmm.
I was just hoping that would allow, like, people to access, like, at least a politic or understanding that these things are actually really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And, so yeah, I think like I was hoping for a more general audience. I know that given its form, mm-hmm. it's not, it is like sort of experimental and mm-hmm. not necessarily the most mainstream piece, but at least like, you know, maybe like my parents and grandparents. And my grandfather has seen that, my parents still haven't yet. Mm-hmm. Which was like sort of my scariest moment. But but it was totally fine. And he was like, oh, I'm like super proud of you. And, you know, I know what you're saying and I don't agree with you, but I think that this is really important work. Mm-hmm. So, which is like really all I could have asked for, you know. Mm-hmm.
And what place do you see your films and the other films that are going to be shown at Queer Digital Activism for Palestine? What place do you see it in the campaign to end apartheid in Israel?
I actually think that the video work that's been coming out, particularly of queer communities around Palestine solidarity stuff, is like the most engaged and fun kind of activism. I feel like there's this new air of like, this is the way that you do activism, and it's like not militant. It's actually like super fun and engaging, and you know, causes people to like pay attention in a way that's different than, you know, being like militant or I don't know, like super straightforward, you know, like it uses elements of camp and irony to really allow people to engage with it on a level that's like accessible, but also, you know, informative and things like that. And I think that, you know, people like John Grayson and Al Flanders and BHL, you know, some of the people that are screening on this panel, as well as like there's a group in Palestine Queers for BDS, who've been making these like really campy videos. So it's almost like, I think started this kind of new way of looking at activism. And I think it's really successful. Like, you know, these videos are getting tons of hits. You know, John's videos specifically are calling for like certain artists to cancel their shows and in Israel and things like this. And I feel like, you know, just because of the weight of these artists, you know, like Justin Bieber and Elton John, like tons of people in the world are going to see those things when they Google or, you know, YouTube, whatever. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's really effective, personally.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you for speaking with me.
And I wanted to know if you had any music requests that I could play for you.
Oh. This is not something I thought of. I feel like all I want to say is like Brandy and Monica.
Well, I can do that.
How about Invincible? That's sort of a apropos way.
I can play Invincible. Anything song in particular? People Not Places?
Sure. Yeah, sounds good.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
That's a video too. Yeah, thank you.